Well, it's hard to believe that it's 2021. It sounds so weird coming out of my mouth. And it's hard to believe that 2020 is actually over. Yay, right? And I know many of us have been longing for this new year and just kind of hoping for life beyond 2020, whatever that may look like, just something different than what we experienced last year. And so as we're heading into this year, as we're getting ready and just even processing that, I was praying about, Lord, what would you have me speak this morning on that first Sunday of 2021? And as I was praying about it, the Lord led me to John chapter 21. I think many of us may be familiar with this section of Scripture. It takes place shortly after Jesus is risen from the dead, and after he's appeared to the disciples twice already. And it's the story where Peter and some of the disciples had gone back to fishing, and they had fished all through the night, but they hadn't caught anything. And Jesus shows up on the shore, and he tells them to cast their nets on the other side of the boat. And as they do, all of a sudden their nets are full of fish, so full that they can't even pull the nets into the boat. And as they get over to the shore, as they bring this massive catch of fish over to the shore, they get out and connect with Jesus. And Jesus has made a fire there, and they begin to sit down and begin to eat some of the fish. And Jesus begins to talk to Peter. And this is where I want to pick up the scriptures this morning. It's John 21, and we're going to read verses 15 through 17. We're going to put it up on the screen so you can follow along. This is what it says. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." And that's where we're going to stop this morning. Now, I've heard numerous sermons on this section of Scripture, but I think for us to truly understand this section of Scripture, I think we have to really go back and look at the life of Peter himself. Now, Peter's original name was Simon, but when Jesus met him, he actually gave him a new name. In John 1, verse 42, it says this. It says, Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. Now, the name Cephas or Peter, it actually means rock. That's the definition of that name. And Jesus was giving him the name Rock because he knew that Peter would be the rock that he would build his church upon. But here's the thing. At this moment in time, when Jesus met Peter, he was anything but a rock. He was an impulsive, hot-headed, often unstable fisherman when Jesus first met him. But the thing we have to understand is that Jesus wasn't naming Peter for who he had been or who he was, even in that moment. He was naming Peter for who he would become. You see, the truth is God has a name. He has a calling, a plan for every single one of us. And it may not be who we've been. It may not be who we are even at this very moment. But it's who God desires us to become. And one of the things that we must learn from Peter is this, is we can't let our past determine our future. We have to let God be the one who decides our future. As we look at Peter's life, we realize that he was a man of many faults. He messed up time and time again. He had experienced failures all throughout his life. As a matter of fact, there was one time that Jesus referred to Peter as Satan, right? In Matthew 16, after Jesus tells the disciples that he must die, it says this in Matthew 16, 22 through 23. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." How would you like for Jesus to refer to you as Satan? This is not something that I would want him to say to me. But here's the thing. I'm sure that there are times in my life where Jesus could have said that same thing to me. You see, Peter, he got caught up in his own agenda, in his own plans, in his own desires, and we're all guilty of doing this at times in our lives. It probably happens more often than we actually realize. We start pushing our own plans. We start pushing our own desires, our own agenda, and we begin to focus on what we want rather than what God desires for us. And we allow ourselves to get in the way of what God wants to do. We put our agenda above the Lord's agenda for our life. Peter, he made this mistake time and time again. And I actually want to look at another one of those times. It's the night before Jesus is to be crucified. And it's probably the toughest night of Jesus' life to date, right? And I say that because the following day is going to be a lot tougher when he actually goes to the cross. But to date, it was probably one of the toughest times of his life. I know this because he sweat blood. Have any of you ever sweat blood? That's how tough and how difficult this time. But he takes Peter, and it's at a time that Jesus really could have used a friend. He really could have used some strength and support. And so let me share this story with you. It's found in Mark chapter 14, and we're going to read verses 32 through 42. This is what it says. "They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I pray.' He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. 'My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death,' he said to them. 'Stay here and keep watch.' Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. 'Abba, Father,' he said, 'everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will.' Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. 'Simon,' he said to Peter, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for just 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. That the spirit is willing, but our body, the body is weak.' Once more, he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting?'" And we're going to stop there this morning. But here at a crucial moment in Jesus' life, what is Peter doing? He's sleeping. You see, Jesus needed Peter at this time. Jesus knew the importance of prayer, and he tells us here, the spirit is willing, but the body, the flesh, it's weak. Meaning that there are some things in life that we cannot do in our own power. We can't do it in the flesh. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But Peter, he tried to do it in his own power. He tried to do it in the flesh, and he failed. So often we try to do life in the flesh. We try to do it on our own, and the end result is the same as it was for Peter, we end up failing Jesus. We end up falling short. You see, the failure of Peter to stay awake in this moment, in this time, is what I believe caused him to fail again just a little while later. Let me set it up for you by going back to Matthew 26, verses 33 through 35, when Jesus was talking to the disciples at the Last Supper, telling them that they would flee, that they would turn their backs on him. And Peter responds in verse 33, saying, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "the very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. But we know the truth, right? We know how the story goes. Unfortunately, Peter didn't hold up his end of the bargain. Peter did fail Jesus. In Matthew 26, verses 69 through 75, we see what is probably Peter's greatest failure. Now, I want to read it to you. It says this, beginning in verse 69 of Matthew 26. "Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. 'You also were with Jesus of Galilee,' she said. But he denied it before them all." "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Then he went out to the gateway where another girl saw him and said to the people there, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." He denied it again with an oath. "I don't know the man." After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away." Then he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. Again, at a time when Jesus needed Peter the most, he failed him. I can only imagine the pain and sorrow that Peter must have felt when he heard that rooster crow. And I wonder if some of us haven't experienced that same feeling at times in our own lives. I know I have. I know there have been times when I've fallen short of what God desires of me. There have been times in my life when I've turned my back on God and the reality of my sin hits deep. I've experienced those times. But thankfully for me, thankfully for us, thankfully for Peter, we serve a God of grace who has a calling and plan for all of our lives. And he's not going to give up on us, not even when we fail, not even when we mess up. Now, I want to look at another section of Scripture that involves Peter, because I don't think we can look at Peter's life without looking at one of the coolest miracles of all times. Because yes, Peter failed. Yes, he messed up. But he did walk on water, something none of us can attest to, right? In Matthew 14, verses 25 through 32, it says this, "During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. 'It's a ghost,' they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid.' 'Lord, if it's you,' Peter replied, 'tell me to come to you on the water.' 'Come,' he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" Now, I think that this story is a perfect example of Peter's life as a disciple, and probably a perfect example of our lives at times. Because there are those times in life where we may feel like we're walking on water. There are those times in our lives where we're doing well and things are going good, where God is at the center of our lives. But then we allow fear or doubt or something to cause us to take our eyes off Jesus. And we find ourselves then falling or sinking like Peter did here in these scriptures. But here's the thing, the response of Jesus in these scriptures I think is key for us this morning. You see, oftentimes we think of God as this great being, right? That's just looking down from above and kind of pointing his finger at us and saying, "Man, you can't ever get it right." But I know from my own experience that this is not the God that I serve. This is not how God looks at our failures. Look at his response here in this section of Scripture. In verse 31 it says, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" I don't think his response here is a harsh response. I don't think he was saying, "Oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt?" I don't think that that's how Jesus responded. As a matter of fact, I imagine that Jesus was smiling at Peter when he reached out and grabbed him, when he pulled him up and he said, why do you doubt? It's as if Jesus was saying, "Peter, don't you remember the name that I gave you? Don't you remember who you are in me? Why do you doubt who you are?" Jesus is looking at us this morning, I think, in that same way. When we fail, that's how he looks at us. He says, "Why do you doubt? Oh, you of little faith." With a smile, not a frown and a pointing finger. You see, in John 21, the verse we started with this morning, Jesus is sitting down with Peter after his failures, after he had come up short. And I believe basically what was happening in these scriptures is that Jesus was reminding Peter who he was. Reminding Peter that he had given him a new name. And that despite his failures, despite his shortcomings, he needed to remember that he was called to be a shepherd. That he was called to take care of his sheep, that he was called to be the rock that God would build his church upon. And if we fast forward in the scriptures, we see that Peter becomes the person that God had called him to be. Now, it didn't happen overnight. Like all of us, Peter went through challenges and difficulties. He went through ups and downs, failures and discouragement. But the Lord had given him a new name. Not a name of the past, not a name of even the struggles that he experienced in that present time as a disciple, but a name of who he would become, a name full of hope. That's what 2021 is for us. It's a year of hope. Jesus speaks into our life and says, "I have given you a new name, a name of hope, not of who you've been, not of maybe even who you are right now, but of who I am calling you to be." And it's amazing what even just a little bit of hope can accomplish. Let me share a little illustration with you. A school system in a large city had a program to help children keep up with their schoolwork during stays in the hospital. One day, a teacher who was assigned to the program received a routine call asking her to visit a particular child. She took the child's name and room number and talked briefly with the child's teacher. "We're studying nouns and adverbs in his class now," the regular teacher said, "and I'd be grateful if you could help him understand them so he doesn't fall too far behind." The hospital program teacher went to see the boy that afternoon. No one had mentioned to her that the boy had been badly burned and was in great pain. Upset at the sight of the boy herself, she struggled as she told him, "I've been sent by your school to help you with nouns and adverbs." When she left that first day, she didn't feel like she had accomplished much. But the next day, when she arrived, a nurse asked her, "What did you say to that boy yesterday?" Now the teacher thought she must have done something wrong and began to apologize. "No, no," said the nurse. "You don't understand what I mean. We've been worried about that boy for some time, but ever since you left yesterday, his whole attitude has changed. He's fighting back. He's responding to treatment. It's as though he's decided to live." A few weeks later, the boy explained that he had completely given up hope until this teacher arrived. "That day, everything changed," he said, "because I realized they wouldn't send a teacher to work on nouns and adverbs with a boy that was about to die." The simple act of a teacher showing up at the hospital to teach him his nouns and adverbs gave this boy hope for the future. Hope is a powerful thing. And the fact that God has a plan for our lives, despite our messes and failures, gives us hope. We're reminded of this in Jeremiah 29:11 when it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Has 2020 caused you to lose hope? Has this past year caused us to forget who we are in and through Him? You see, Peter had forgotten who he was. He had forgotten who Jesus had called him to be. Jesus had told Peter he would no longer be a fisherman that fished for fish. He had told Peter that he would now be a fisher of men, that he would be a fisher of people. But because of his failures, because of his doubt and shame, he went back to being just a regular old fisherman who caught fish. Jesus was reminding Peter who he was called to be. And I believe this morning, as we head into 2021, Jesus is wanting to remind us who he's called us to be. You see, a bad year doesn't change who God desires us to be. Our doubts and fears and failures don't change who God is calling us to be. Today is a new year. And on January 3rd, 2021, I believe Jesus is sitting around the fire with all of us right now. Because that's how much He loves us. And He's saying, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And if the answer is yes, he's saying, then let's put 2020 behind us. Let's forget about the past and focus on the future. Let's begin to live the life that he's called us to live. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I know that 2020 has been a difficult year for many, many people. It's been challenging, and it's challenged us in our faith. It's challenged us in who we are. It's shaken us up at times throughout this year, Lord. But I pray that this morning, as we look to this new year, that, Lord, we look with a sense of hope. A hope of who You have called us to be. It doesn't matter our past. It doesn't matter our failures. It doesn't matter what it looked like in 2020. What matters now is what we do moving forward, Lord. That we begin to live the lives that You have called us to live. That we begin to put our hope and our trust in You. And so, Lord, I thank You for this message. I thank You for Peter, man. What an encouragement, Lord. I love Peter because I am so much like Peter. I fail time and time again. I fall short. I say things I shouldn't say. I speak up when I shouldn't. I get caught up on my own agendas instead of Yours. And Lord, all of us struggle in this way. And Peter is such a great example of someone who messed up, who made mistakes, but who You used for Your glory. And Lord, You desire to use all of us for Your glory, to make a difference in lives around us, Lord. And what that looks like, none of us know. Whether it's the simplicity of loving our neighbors, whether it's the simplicity of just being a light to our family, Lord, whatever it is that You are calling us to do in 2021, Lord, may we look to this year with hope, with excitement, Lord, of Your hand upon our lives. The hope and the excitement of who You are calling us to be. And so, Lord, we thank You for these things. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for this morning. We give it all to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.